Hello, friends. Welcome to Spark My Muse. I'm your host, Lisa Colon-Delay. This is Soul School Lesson 303, The Prophecy That Beauty Will Save the World. Beauty will save the world is a phrase that you may have heard, or beauty will save us is another phrase you may have heard. It is something I wanted to explore. Fyodor Dostoevsky's novel, The Idiot, is where it comes from. He was a 19th century Christian existentialist writer in Russia. He was born in Moscow, and his first novel was a social novel called Poor Folk. In his late 20s, he began meeting up with a utopian socialist group, and this did not bode well for him, and he was arrested under orders of the Tsar at that time. He was born to an Orthodox Christian family, but he suffered all sorts of suffering and tragedy. When he was just 9 years old, a playmate of his was raped and subsequently killed. And then when he was just 15, his mother died of tuberculosis. When he was studying to be a military engineer, his father, who ran a hospital, died. Possibly he was murdered, but that's not conclusive. And so with both his parents gone, he began showing his first signs of epilepsy and had reoccurring seizures his entire life. Some of these sufferings laid the groundwork for his profound meditations on faith and suffering and the human condition. A most pivotal moment in his life was when he was sentenced to death at 27 years old. It was death by firing squad, and he reflects on the moments preceding his execution in his most personal novel called The Idiot through the character of Prince Myshkin. Now, Prince Myshkin is called the idiot by these people in society. He's not an idiot, but to them he performs like one because he doesn't care about moving up in social classes and performing properly. He's a kind person. He also has epilepsy. He's generous with his money, and people enjoy being with him. But he doesn't do any of the things you're supposed to do to impress the wealthy and the upper classes. Prince Myshkin says, nothing was more oppressive for him at that moment than the constant thought, what if I were not to die? What if life were given back to me? What infinity? And it would be all mine. Then I'd turn each minute into a whole age. I'd lose nothing. I'd reckon up every single minute separately. I'd let nothing be wasted. In the end, this thought turned into such anger in him that he wished they would hurry up and shoot him. This is a really interesting part that he reveals, because as time is winding down, he only has a few minutes left, and he's being very deliberate about those moments. These moments are yawning out in front of him, and he's being careful with them, and he's thinking very carefully, and things are becoming crystal clear to him. And then he realizes, if he's spared, what an enormous amount of time he will have and how good and responsible he will be with this time. At the very last moment, before the execution of Prince Myshkin, but also of Dostoevsky, a pardon is sent by the Tsar, and the entire event turned out to be a mock execution. This kind of a farce was done for multiple reasons. It would put terror in the people, and it was also a public stunt to show that the Tsar was actually very benevolent. But the mental torture it put on the people who were going to be executed was tremendous, and at least one of the people he was with, who was sentenced to die, suffered permanent insanity from the ordeal. After this incident, Dostoevsky was sent to 4 years in a Siberian work camp, coupled with an indeterminate term as a soldier. Still, he remained hopeful, having been given his life back. When he was done with his time of service, he didn't write any more romanticized novels. He was more pessimistic than he wrote in his earlier works, and he showed some of the horrors he witnessed in the work camps in his work. He was very perceptive about the human condition and suffering, He wrote more spiritually and psychologically explorative works. But his conviction and his beliefs was stronger than ever. And for 20 more years, he wrote. This included writing about failed utopian promises in a culture with failing worldviews and failing religious institutions. And it was in his book, The Idiot, written in 1869, that he wrote, "Beauty will save the world." This is attributed to Prince Myshkin, but is never said by him. Other people tell Prince Myshkin that he has said this, but he never says it himself. So Dostoevsky portrays that suffering is a fundamental tenet of life, and that life will always contain it no matter what promises are made by religious institutions or nihilism or realism or any of the other isms that come along to try to solve life's problems and create a utopia. These attempts at utopia create new problems. Readers of The Idiot are often left wondering what he means by beauty will save the world. It seems that as Myshkin is sentenced to death, just like Dostoevsky was, he's so close to death and he is about to lose all the beauty that life contains, but also the sorrow as well. It is just a few moments away, and that countdown becomes so intolerable. The risk of losing all that beauty at once becomes so painful that a person almost wishes to die sooner under the circumstances of a death sentence. Alexander Solzhenitsyn wrote The Gulag Archipelago, and he expressed his puzzlement over the phrase, "beauty will save the world" as well, in his Nobel Prize speech. He said, "What sort of statement is that? For a long time, I considered it mere words. How could that be possible? When in bloodthirsty history, did beauty ever save anyone from anything? Ennobled, uplifted, yes, but whom has it saved?" Prince Myshkin, the main character, is genuinely kind and innocent. He's a soul that traverses the world, but the world is filled with nihilism and greed. He tries to be charitable to the world, and he gives, and he rarely takes, but his accomplishments amount to nothing. His life in some ways amounts to nothing. However, what he's done, his charity, his hope, his love, his humility, all these things transform his sufferings into lessons learned. Solzhenitsyn would say, "Beauty will save the world" is not a careless phrase, but a prophecy. Dostoevsky changed his sufferings into blessings, his experiences into stories, and his life into a witness. Even his death was an inspiration. His tomb has an engraving of John 12:24. "Most truly I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain." It can also be said that what is sown in the earth is subject to decay, but what rises out is incorruptible. This kind of beauty lives on. It resurrects. It's redeemed. And the kind of beauty that Dostoevsky is speaking about isn't mere glamour, which knows itself and watches the watcher. This kind of beauty involves vulnerability, sacrifice, and love. Its beauty simply is, and it is often found in unexpected places and people. Beauty and truth and goodness are all part of what is transcendent in our human experience. The good involves theology, the true involves ethics, and the beautiful involves aesthetics. All these are philosophical in nature, and they point to the eternal. They're not connected to trends, as we might first perceive, but they are transcendent and trace their origins to forms and sources beyond the material and the seen. They involve potential and the not seen as well. The good, the true, and the beautiful, they stem from what is original and fundamentally ontological, always pointing to the eternal. For Dostoevsky, beauty could be found in kindness, generosity, humility, avoiding the finite and sickly games of society and the wealthy, finding ways to triumph over suffering, learning lessons along the way, being authentic to oneself to live the good life, not the good life on the terms that society has deemed best, but based on the virtues and values that are eternal and generative. I was inspired to reflect on this by several sources, and those sources will be in the show notes at part two of this episode at the Substack page. To go to the Substack page, you just go to sparkmymuse.substack.com or sparkmymuse.com and follow the link for SSL 303, Soul School Lesson 303. Beauty will save the world. It is not a mere hopeful statement. It is a prophecy. As we sink into that coming future, we can delve into the depths of beauty and what that means. It isn't something just on the surface. It is something lasting. It is something that connects all of us. It is something that can give us hope. Until we meet again, I wish you blessing and peace.